lights out, we're underway. Motorsport Republic of Podcast.
Fellas, welcome back. Daniel, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, actually.
That's all right. No worries.
Yes.
Dave Superbike Shaw, welcome back on our 100th episode.
Who else would we want on the 100th episode?
Yeah.
A great honor and happy new year to all.
Thank you.
Even though it's February.
Yeah, it's February. 100th episode, fellas.
Well done, boys. Curtis.
Well done. Yeah, thank you, Curtis.
Yes, good
job. It's been a wonderful couple of years. So 100 episodes. I can't believe it.
I can't believe how quick it's gone.
Who would have thought people would still be listening?
Well, it's growing day by day, so we appreciate all the fans and the OGs as well, of course.
Yeah.
Some crazy moments over the last couple of years, and we'll get into some tonight. Looking really, really forward to it. Dave's got a couple of stories for us.
Yeah,
I've been waiting.
Ending.
This is part two of 10.
Yeah.
Dave Superbike Shaw. He's just been a special guest for a 10th time. He's going to be. But yeah, and then we've got hot takes, Jimmy, obviously.
Yeah. Heaps has happened. You know, we've had MotoGP testing, some good times out there as well.
Interesting. We'll get into that because there were some interesting times from the rookies and everything.
Yeah, all the liveries that have come out. I think it's only LCR just to go, just to be honest.
I think so.
And yeah. Well,
and it's 40 degrees here right now.
I know. So, I can hardly think, man.
We're out in the middle of the showroom here at Benzina once again. Mm. So I'm trying to get some cool air on our faces. But we'll do our best. If you see me fogging up, you know, the boys will give me shit. That's the standard.
Well, at Tom's party on the happy 30th,
thank
mate.
You. Thanks, guys.
On Saturday night. And I was talking to this fella. And he kind of looked like Tom, had glasses on. And when I say this man was profusely sweating, he was caked in sweat. And then I was talking to him, he was rubbing his forehead and it was just coming back straight away.
Oh,
I'm like, oh, are you relation to Tom? Tom's uncle. I'm like, oh, yeah, checks out. The sweat checks out.
Yes.
Where we run hot, the Chevrolet K's run real hot.
Oh, yeah. I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. And his glasses are fogging up. I was pissing myself. Yeah. It was so funny. It's such a year thing.
Yeah, 30 years old. I can't believe it.
Yeah, look at
it's
you
pretty
go.
Crazy.
I like it.
Didn't think I'd make it, but I'm here. Tell the tale.
Yep. Just quickly, shout out to Motor Heaven, our major sponsor. Get down to motorheaven.com.au. Check out the guys there. They've got everything that you need. You never pay full price as well. Stop paying full price.
Mate, it's ridiculous to pay full price these days.
Yeah, I know. That's right. So they do a great job and super fast dispatch. So head over to motorheaven.com.au.
Yes, thank you. And all the support, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. Please like, subscribe on YouTube is a big important thing for us. So really appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, hit up our TikTok as well. We've got stuff up on there now. We've actually got more time to post more stuff on there. So
hit
up our TikTok, Motorsport Republic. Our main account's obviously Instagram, but check that all out. And we're doing some more YouTube shorts and stuff on YouTube as well, just smaller videos. So access all that.
Yeah, 100%.
And Patreon as well.
Patreon, thank you, Daniel. Yeah. Yes, subscribe to that. That's you get free, not free, you got to pay for it. Exclusive.
I know, because I pay for it.
Oh, good.
I don't even get a deal.
that's just a little support you give. Thanks,
yes,
appreciate
it.
But yeah, all the supports. 100 apps, it's amazing, crazy. So super excited. We're off to Thailand in a few weeks.
I know,
round
can't
one.
Wait.
Round one. We got invited to testing, but we can't make it, unfortunately.
It's pretty wild.
Dorna invited us. We had to turn them down, actually. Yeah. Had to turn them down, James.
Yeah. Because we had to do that.
They wouldn't accept your rider of all the M&Ms with the chocolate ones taken.
The rider. Yeah. 100%. Go vodka at 3 degrees. They wouldn't do it.
Right. Nothing but Grey Goose.
So we'll be there. So looking forward to that. Imagine the sweat, James, for that.
Bro, I was just about to say, Tom, you've got serious PTSD about hot weather.
Oh, yeah.
And you're going to die there. It's going to be bad.
Well, someone said to me, you're going to the hottest part of Thailand, so it's in the middle of the north.
It's like no ocean breeze.
We're in the desert pretty much. And it is the hottest time to go to Thailand is the end of February.
I've got a great idea for you. Why don't you invest in one of those Formula One cool suits with the water running around?
You know what? Moto Heaven, speaking of them, sell those Alpine style cool suits.
A cool suit.
How is it fit under your shirt? Can it fit under your shirt?
Yeah. It might make you look a bit more buff as well.
But the only problem is it doesn't make you look cool, though. It only makes you feel cool.
I feel cool, yeah. That might not be a bad idea.
That's
And you never pay full price, so I'll get one cheap. So
you're getting an extra cheeky discount.
Go a little bit closer to the mic there, Dave, just so we can hear your beautiful voice.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So, Dave, you were telling me before the pod you've got a crazy story. I want to hear a couple of them, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're off to... tell us what that drive to Adelaide. Start with that.
Oh, yeah, that was a two-hour endurance race. Well, back then it was 2 hours were endurance races. Shell used to do it. And I had a friend pick me up. This is how we used to do it. Friend picked me up on the Friday night in Melbourne.
What's this, 78, 79?
No,
it was the 80s.
Curtis, please.
He'll start apologising.
You need a dump button on him.
The technology is not there yet.
No, so I had a mate, Roger Gunn, who actually still races now on katanas and stuff like that. And he picked me up in his work van, which was one of those big 4x4 things. We'd done about 100 Ks an hour all the way. So we drove all the night to Adelaide. No sleep, maybe 100 Ks an hour tops. Got to the track, unloaded, qualified. No sleep still. God. And then, on a track I've never been on before, it was the one I had a speed bowl going around. It was like a little NASCAR circuit. Mm. Went onto the drag strip, right?
Like Calder, is it?
No, up at...
But like Calder.
Yeah, it was like Calder, that sort of thing, and which was great. So we got that done. Saturday night we went out, of course, as you do, and then...
Still no sleep.
Just slept Saturday night, of course. Sunday went out there for the race and did warm up and so on, and... I lined up on the track, ready to go. Rob Phillips, Mel Campbell in front, and all of a sudden, heavens opened up. I'm on slicks, no one there. The teams come running out, changing wheels, stuff like that. And I thought, you know, damn, we drove all night, and I wasn't going to just pull out now. So I started the race on slicks.
Oh, no way.
So I was pissing down rain, and I thought, this is going to be a good test of my ability. So one thing I worked out is how fast you can go and get it straight, and how hard you can brake, as long as the bike's upright and not jumping over any sort of standing water. So I actually was doing okay. I was coming onto the speed bowl, and those days they had the drag strip there, and I didn't realise how slippery that was. I'm coming on full sideways onto the track. I'm just whop like this up the straightaway down, and I had the Team Kawasaki guys going like pointing, you know, to the centre. And I finally realised, okay, that's where I'll drive through and get the traction through there. But ended up finishing ninth in a wet on slicks. And
how many laps?
Oh, jeez, it was probably 15 laps or something like that.
It's a decent amount.
Yeah, that's right. And then packed up, drove all the way home that night.
Yeah.
God.
And then got dropped off at work and started work straight.
It all built different.
It was unbelievable those days. And it was just like, you know, that was just how it was done. But, yeah, that was the only time I rode at Adelaide. And it was...
good riddance, but seriously.
Yeah, we're not huge on Adelaide.
No. I've never been there. I'm so rude to Adelaide.
Well, the
it's
problem
so
is,
funny.
We always say this, and everyone goes, "No, the Ben's actually awesome. Like, you guys got to go." We're like, "Nah."
I had a gripe with the Bend because I keep thinking that it's gonna take over Phillip Island, but I actually think this track in Tullamarine is gonna take over from Phillip Island.
So I heard it's gonna be in Avalon.
Oh, Avalon, yeah, along the... It's out that way.
Has it been actually approved by council, everything like that?
Or I don't know.
Is it just a conception or...?
I'm not 100% sure. Yeah. I was speaking to someone about it and they seemed pretty confident it was going to happen and it's going to move across. Because does Lindsay Fox own Avalon as well?
I think he owns a lot of that land. I think it's going to be his.
Yeah.
And I heard they're like FIM homologating the track. It's going to be... Because... The thing I keep saying is all. If you look at any circuit around, not any, but most MotoGP circuits, especially a lot of the new ones, they've got one thing in common: they're all next to an airport, and that's next to an airport. They're already flying from another side of the world, and then obviously it's only 2 hours, but standard Tom.
Sorry.
But it's only 2 hours where they can save that 2 hours and. You know, 100%. straight to the track.
But has it been an issue with the teams now at Phillip Island? Has that been a bugbear for them? Because the impression I get that they sort of like going there, even though it's a bit of a drag to get the equipment.
Maybe
there.
It always comes down to one thing though. It comes down to money.
Yes. Yeah.
And that's what
it'll
be.
Logistics. It'll all be that. Well, it's interesting if Lindsay Fox does not want to spend much on his current track at Phillip Island. Is he got some big plan for this new track? That might be what the case is.
But you can never replicate.
No.
You know.
We always say this, all these new tracks are designed on a computer where I bet you Philip Island was like a guy drawing, going down to that site and drawing it.
Well, you see, you know? Philip Island was from the 50s, 1950s.
Yeah.
And that Honda Corner where you see it now, the original went quite a bit further.
Yeah.
Right up to that pit, you know, the entrance there and pit around. Entrance.
Well, they used to have the track even before that, the track actually on the island. We used to go up on public roads.
Yeah.
And you see some signs, it's like Hell Corner, Heaven Corner.
Yeah.
Because, like, there was these straights for kilometres and just a 90-degree right-hander.
That'd be Philip Island would be awesome for an Isle of Man style. Mm.
Yeah.
It'd be perfect.
And if you go down to where the penguins are, in that back corner, the Nobbies, that would be insane.
You've got some great straights there. Yeah. You know,
our country would never allow it.
I know.
The nanny state.
No way.
No, well, especially not Victoria. Yeah, like, you can't shit without the cops buddy saying something to you.
They were going to do something. They were trying to get something like that across the line in a place called Lyons Road in Queensland, New South Wales.
That was only 10 years ago.
I've ridden there. Yeah. I've ridden from down Lyons Road, and geez, I tell you what, if you race there, you'd kill yourself. It was so narrow and undulating, you know, you'd be seriously flipping bikes over there. And it was meant to be like a time trial, if I can remember rightly what they were going to do. So the concept was really good, and I think a lot of people were behind it, but at the end of the day, it's just got too...
It's crazy.
Yeah. And so on.
Yeah. Bathurst is another track they could do, because that's like, that's a proper racetrack.
Yeah.
You know.
That'd be good. I'd love to see the TT guys racing.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah, as part of something. But
you could do a proper race.
Ladies and gentlemen, just a quick reminder, we are proudly supported by the great team down at Moto Heaven. They are absolutely unbelievable to deal with. And if I were you guys, I'd definitely head over to their website.
Yes, you never pay full recommended retail price at Moto Heaven, and free delivery for any order over $100.
100%. And they've got the best, most usable website in the whole motorcycle industry. Dare I say the world. They've got parts finders. You can chuck in any bike you want. If it's a gold KX250 or an R1, you can find anything you want. Helmets, they've got everything. Head to motoheaven.com.au where you will get everything that you need. That's a guarantee.
Do it. It's just something that, I mean, there's going to be some invention in years to come where you can put, I don't know, padding up on the sidewalls. Like, did you see the 12-hour track? It currently went over the side.
Yeah, that Porsche, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was Stephen Groves, who owns Groves Racing. He's got, I think he's still in hospital.
Really?
Yeah, he's seriously injured his back. And this guy's like a multi.
Yeah.
Millionaire, owns the team, sponsors, I think, actually owns a VR supercars teams as well.
Okay.
And he's racing the 12-hour because you have to have that amateur driver. And he's cooked. Really bad back injury. So,
and speaking of which, Valentino Rossi got second.
Yeah.
I
noticed on the, it was interesting that wherever he goes, he still has that MotoGP type fan base.
Doing the
big valet thing on the podium, you know. And,
100%.
You know, he's...
He's committed to next year as well, from all reports. So,
for might endurance be a trip. Or Bathurst?
For the 12-hour next year.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so he said he'll be back, so...
So what's this news you got of Valentino Rossi and you sent today?
What did I send today?
The video
The
biggest hot take.
Oh, Jazza Mazdan.
Yeah.
I don't know if he wants to say it on public thing, but we'll say it.
Yeah, yeah.
Say allegedly.
So
allegedly.
Allegedly, I'll paraphrase. So Jared Mazdan, OG fan.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What's he done? He's infiltrated my mic. he's up there, works obviously for an audio visual company, and he's installing all the onboard cameras on the on all the cars. So he sent a message, and he was watching during the race. He was watching the onboard footage, and he saw Rossi pass another car under safety car conditions, and he reports it.
So who's he reported to? Just like the...
He reported to the stewards. They gave Rossi a penalty. Now, I'm not saying, Jazz, it was your
robbed
fault.
Robbed him of a win.
Not 90% chance it's probably Jazz's fault, but he plays by the rules. He's not a rule breaker, so...
You
got to win fair. You got to win fairly, but
he won't be invited to the ranch, I don't think.
No, definitely not. Probably blocked on all social media.
Maverick
Vinales.
He'll get the Italian fans in a frenzy. But interesting and cool from Jazz sending us some videos. So thanks for that, mate. Appreciate it.
Yeah, it's really cool. Good, great footage. It's I love the 12-hour event. I would love to go.
It'd be cool to see.
They're so fast around there.
I know. How how much faster they are than the V8s?
About 5 seconds, I think. I mean, it's still amazing how quick But you know what's crazy about those cars? And yes, they'd be very hard cars to drive, but they're like this. they've got flappy paddles.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going across the mountain like this, where you see the V8 supercar guys heel toe, yeah. shifting, one hand, the thing's going like this. Like, it's a different ball game.
It's two different things.
And if you got an old guy like Stephen Groves or these AM drivers able to do it, like, it's not as impressive as those V8s. Those V8s are the hardest cars to drive in the world, they say.
I remember playing that sim and jumped in the V8s, and it was bloody impossible to drive that.
Yeah.
It was so much easier driving like a 911 Porsche around Bathurst.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
German engineering, bro.
Yeah, do everything right.
Yeah, they do everything right, exactly.
But that's a crazy racetrack. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
It's that's sports nuts. We were talking about it the other day, just the money. Like, if you ride off one of them Ferraris or Lambos, yeah. It's such crazy money.
It's the same as those guys who race cigarette boats.
Big. Yeah.
I think there's a trophy in it, but it's all about ego, prestige, for just winning it, and they've got plenty of dough.
That's probably bigger money, I reckon, those speedboat racing. It's ridiculous.
I knew
that's
a guy silly. Who had one years ago.
Dangerous as well.
Dangerous as.
2 454 V8s in it, and I think the mileage was 4 miles to the gallon.
So they have Corvette V8 engines. In the gallon. What have they got? Corvette engines or something?
Back in those days, they were big block sheds.
Put in their shed, yeah.
They were a massive thing. But yeah, that's the same deal. It's like those cars, it's a rich man's sport.
Yeah.
Sure. What's the rule about boats and women and planes?
No, Dave says it. It's his.
He doesn't know that one.
I don't know that one.
What if it...
If it floats, flies, or fucks?
You rent it.
Yeah, there you go.
I haven't heard that.
What about the sailing one?
Oh, yeah. That's right. My dad had that one. Was the definition of sailing is standing in a cold shower tearing up $100 bills.
That'll never get old. That's so good.
Yeah. Or boat, but, you know, bust out another 1,000.
Oh, yeah. But two people are talking about boats, that Sydney to Hobart race. Two people died this year.
And I mean, it was unbelievable. It was by the boom swing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's just unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because those things, when they come across, they've got so much
talk about power. Money. Talk about money. Those are their money.
That's
dab
money.
My forehead here, sorry.
It's like your uncle.
He looks like he's in
I should put it on.
You're sweating like you're a witness in a murder case in the jury box.
or a pedophile in church.
Yeah. What does that look like? Hideous? Go on.
Well, if we clip it and random people see this episode, they'll go, who's the autistic guy with sweatbands? We're an equal opportunity employer, Curtie.
He looks like Bubbles out of Trailer Park.
Yeah, he does. Mr. Miyagi, yeah. I like it.
All right, run us through some testing, Jimmy boy.
I was going to ask you, you've skipped over 100 episodes, bro. I was going to ask you guys, what's your favorite thing?
No, we're going to wait till the end for that. We've got to wait for the end.
All right.
That's before hot takes. Got to keep the listener engaged.
Yeah. Retention rate. That's what we're about.
Thank you. That's YouTube analytics right there.
YouTube analytics. Well, it's interesting. I wouldn't say surprise, but... I guess it is a bit of a surprise. It's Iogura.
Yeah.
How quick he was in testing. Yep. And he was only, I think, not even half a second off Pedro Acosta's time. I think he was only 0.2 off from what he was doing. So,
hey, he did really well.
You know,
that's amazing, I think. Like, and we talk about it all the time, how he was patient with his move and it's going to pay off for him. So
good signs for Aprilia as well, because obviously a very rideable bike, but... Okay, he's pretty quick, but then you want to see how Jorge Martin goes on the absolute top end.
Yeah, yeah,
because exactly. I still expect Iogura to, you know, I really don't know. Like, he could be a top 10 rider because he's got a good package, but you just don't know. And the field's so stacked. But then you look at, okay, he's gone up against Bastianini and Vinales on that KDM. No one knows what's happening with them.
It's true.
You know, are they going to be top 10 riders? I actually don't see it at the moment.
Well, I got some news out of KDM. So they've come out, had their launch. The boss came and spoke. He said he had the budget already in the system for the next 2 years.
Yeah.
They've developed these bikes already and they've spent the money. The problem is going to be that sort of second half of the season where they're going to struggle. So
of this year?
This year. Yeah. So this is going to be the big thing. They might show some signs at the start, but it's going to naturally drop off.
Yeah, once everyone catches up.
A lot of things can happen within 6 months, right, of, you know, someone taking over.
True.
You know, that can happen at any time. There are obviously negotiations going on now.
Oh, 100%. Yeah.
It's too big a brand to let go. Mm. So one of those, like you said, Mahindra.
Yeah, like we CF Moto, I think.
Yeah, CF Moto.
That's right. So, you know, they've got to keep it going.
And the oil giants or the rich Indians, they love buying these products from Europe. Yeah. Like, you look at these sports
teams.
How's
the Arabs not bought it yet?
I know. It's just
They're very much like ball sport based, though.
Yeah, but they kind of they love soccer. I guess.
They love the sport washing. They love
washing. But they're in big with the F1s, aren't they?
They are. They own half of Bahrain. The Prince of Bahrain owns half of McLaren company.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, I mean, there's that.
More prestige for them, though, I think, in a car.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Than what it is in a bike.
But, like, you know, I guess owning KTM as a business is a pretty big thing to do as well.
Of course.
Even though they're worth, like, $1 trillion.
And, who knows?
What's going to be interesting, though, when someone does take KTM over, is what they're going to do. Because they can't do what they were doing because that didn't work.
Right, that's not working
for them.
So
they're going to have to some fat off somewhere. You know, Gas, Husqvarna. I don't know what they'll do with those.
I think they've already cut the fat there. And MV Agusta as well.
They need to get rid of that. That's diabolical from the start. Yeah, that, yeah.
But I think they're ditching Husqvarna and KTM.
What are you saying, Curdy? MV Agusta's got a new deal with somebody else. Okay.
Didn't they come out and say they're ditching Husqvarna and Gas anyway?
I don't know.
I thought that was the crack.
But anyway, something's going to have to happen. They'll have to streamline. Yeah. You know, that KTM car they had at Bathurst.
Yeah, what was that doing there? What a waste of money.
What's go with that?
I don't know. It was weird. It was in its own category, so it didn't like...
And they were celebrating like a win because they just finished the
race. I know.
That's a bad look. You'd probably crash on the first lap.
Because I probably not have, were expecting it to win to finish.
But that's the kind of brand, that's the issue with the brand, I think. It's trying to, the expo, they got all these different...
It's trying to cover too many bases.
Just concentrate on good dirt
bikes. Stick to what you know.
Yeah. And that's what I used to always say to James. You know, I could never understand why they're in MotoGP.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I can
understand. To this day, I don't really
know. I can understand now because if they want to develop the road range, and I think they're bringing out, or they were bringing out that 900 sports bike, which would be developed off a MotoGP bike. So they've done that.
They've done that for the track.
Yeah. But that was a track day bike only.
They've developed an actual road bike based around that.
It would be like a competitor to the R9.
And what's the status of that at the moment?
It's coming out. It's coming out. I don't know.
But who's going to buy that? Who's going to buy that? Because there's all this brand.
I'm telling you, people
will
buy it.
You'll be surprised, man.
That's a big market.
Yeah, okay.
Actually, when I was in Europe, the amount of KTMs I actually saw on a row.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was actually astounding.
And like as you said, we're such a small market.
Yeah.
Mm.
But I can see why they've done it to develop that. Because you look at Yamaha or Honda or whatever, they've got a complete range of especially Yamaha, enduro bikes, motocross bikes, your learner bikes, scooters, road, and KTM can get to that. Like, they own the enduro market. Mm. They've got heaps of naked bikes they do really well.
Big in adventure,
they've got that as well. It's just that sport, and that's what they're doing, and they're in MotoGP. Like
well, KTM owned it so much so that the Japanese didn't even bother competing.
No, they didn't.
Yeah, correct.
You know, that they left them alone, and it was... If you went on a Euro enduro bike, you were nowhere, right?
True.
But if the Japanese, I think, didn't you say Kawasaki?
Kawasaki bringing back a two-stroke.
That's
legit.
That's massive.
And that'd be like a 300 enduro bike.
Oh, who knows?
That would be incredible.
Who knows what it's going to be? But it's not like an April Fool's thing. It's a real thing. They're bringing back a two-stroke.
Big news as well. Like,
huge.
I'm not huge into the dirt bike scene, but I saw that everywhere on socials.
I reckon it's going to be, my guess is like a KDX 250 two-stroke.
You know what? I've seen this happen working with Kawasaki before many years ago. You get promised so much. And you think, wow, this is going to be like a KX motocross bike tricked out, all enduroized, and it ends up being a steel tanked with a petrol cap with a key in it. It's a thing that's got no horsepower. Well, and that's what you end up with.
You're right. The prime example is that when I was at Kawasaki, there was like, there's a 300 coming. And it was like some shitbox KLX 300 four-stroke thing. It's just an absolute shitter.
Barge,
100%. That only retards ride. Like, that's literally all it's good for. It's a farm bike.
We were talking about this about 6 months ago. I couldn't believe you were saying Suzuki still got Kickstart and some of their bikes.
No. Kickstart Kenny's now got
electric start.
He's got it now. They've upgraded. Upgraded.
Is that factory option?
That might be RHK aftermarket.
Or is it, can you buy that with an electric start now?
I don't know, man.
Or is it just a legit Kickstart Kenny?
I think Kickstart Kenny might have just found it off something else and put it on. But they've revamped their range. They've got a DRZ. They've redone DRZ 4S or something. It looks pretty trick. So, who knows, man?
That was a good bike for them. The DRZ.
It never changed from the start.
Yeah. They don't need to. They're just a big boat. They just go forever.
Just for a trail rider.
And you ride them up to Cape York or something like that.
Right.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah.
You can ride it anywhere.
Yeah. That's where Honda had so well with the XR range years ago.
Correct.
So it had the air-cooled right motor, so no sticks can go in a radiator, so it was really low maintenance, went forever, you know. But they changed it because...
You got to keep up the times.
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes it's just good having the simple things. Because you're selling to a market, which is just a simple, basic trail bike market. So it's.
But then like you look at what KTM's done. They've just... Everything's so advanced now, but... And they had a real good sweet spot where you could buy an amazing bike, for, you know, not a crazy amount of money, but then they just went overboard and like 20 grand now for enduro bikes.
Yeah, what we're saying is 10 grand, I reckon, maxed it out. Mm. 10 grand I'd be comfortable with buying, but 20 grand?
That's ridiculous.
That's for like buying you could buy a second-hand Ducati for that, and you wouldn't want to take that in the dirt.
And things haven't changed. Exactly right. You know? Things haven't changed that much in the last 10 years, essentially.
Mm.
Like, there's some more advanced things, but, like, to buy something that is not that much more advanced than 10 years ago and pay double the amount.
Yeah, there's not a 10 grand change.
No, absolutely. It's definitely not at all. No, definitely not.
The advancements in technology is nothing like it used to be. Every 2 years, the Jap bikes would have major, major differences, and it would make a difference between winning and losing. Now, you see guys on YouTube on old CR500s, 90 models, smoking guys on the latest model bike.
It's all about your riding skills. It's like anything. Yeah, it's like any sport. It's all about your riding skills. You see, I was talking to someone the other day, and they were at a track day, and they were on a brand new V4R. He had all the Ducati leathers, typical Ducati owner.
Yeah.
Had the mat, had the Ducati stands.
Oh, no way.
And
a wanker.
yeah, absolute wanker. But then
his name was David Shaw.
Guilty as charged.
I was waiting for that.
I was letting the suspense build.
But he's in white group, just bumming around in 2 minute Phillip Island, where you've got some kid or some old codger on a clapped out old ZX7R or a CBR 600 punching in minute 40s.
Yeah,
you know, it's just it all goes down to your skill level, and I'm not good enough to really. Notice between a 2016 300 and a 2024. I couldn't ride the shit out of it where I'm going to notice massive difference.
No.
The big money change that's happened is in those enduro bikes, they went to like fuel injection and all that shit.
Yeah.
You know, and people would rather the carby anyway.
I think, fuel gas, I think at the time was the first two-stroke to go fuel injected.
I thought it was KTM.
I think gas.
Actually, it was the Peewee 50 if you really want to take
it. Yeah, I was going to say.
I'm sure it was gas that went first on the fuel injection. Because I run those things upside down, which they often were.
Well, maybe. What one was Spanish?
Spanish.
Oh, yeah maybe. Yeah, you're probably right, actually.
It was.
I don't know if the... Oh, I shouldn't say the Peewee because that... You could... They had a thing where you didn't have to mix the fuel, but it was still carby.
Yeah, auto loop. Yeah. Yeah, you'd put the oil in a tank
and
it had a little thing that would adjust it. Yeah, that's how a lot of the road bike two-strokes used to be.
Oh, really?
Because, you know, last thing you want to do in a road bike two-stroke, I had a... one of my first bikes was an RD400 two-stroke with J&R expansion chambers on it. And you'd have an auto loop system, so you'd fill the oil tank on the side with two-stroke, maybe a litre, and then you'd just use fuel every time. So it would automatically mix it. So you didn't want to be at the service station mixing.
Yeah,
you know,
trying to mix it.
Yeah, 20 to 1 or something like that.
Yeah, that'd be a pain in the ass. Yeah. Anyone got any two strokes?
Yeah, carry that in your back pocket.
Yeah, I need some Castor.
Well, Castrol R30 was the go. Anyone older around my age would know that smell, you know. Castrol R30.
You had remember you had that candle that was two stroke smell?
Yeah. Two stroke candles.
Yeah, it smelled insane. So good for us, but like anyone else would be, fuck, that's terrible.
If a biddy walked in, I don't think they'd be happy with
nah,
it.
Nah, you know you found the one though if she likes it.
Yeah, true. Or she used to be a bloke.
Yes. No in between. Oh, goodness.
So how do you guys think Firmin Aldegaer is going? He's slower than Aigura in the tests. Doesn't mean much, obviously, but... True.
But shaved 2 seconds off, wasn't it, from first testing day to the second testing day? Wasn't he 2 minutes and at a 158?
Yeah, I didn't know. That's pretty good.
So that's not bad, but I still think Aigura is the pick of the bunch, to be honest.
Yeah, I think most of us said this. I think we all agreed on this. Aigura is our man.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aldegaer for me is just, hasn't shown that X factor at all.
The thing is Aldegaer could prove us so wrong and do really well. Yep. Where I don't think Aigura could.
No.
But I think Aigura is just going to be the more consistent, safe bet.
Yeah. And that's very interesting to say that about a Japanese rider, because consistency is not normally their thing.
It should be.
Mm.
But they normally just throw it down the road.
Classic example. Classic example.
Oh, you're a corner.
But yeah, it's going to be... Chandra, how did he go? Give us some...
I think he's still going around.
Yeah. They said a very successful day on the LCR.
Last.
Yeah, he was
behind the no-named Yamaha test driver.
Jesus. So wait, no name.
No name.
God.
We have to confront him in Thailand. He's going to be a big deal.
He'll be hard. He'll be pulled from pillar to post there.
On his first race. Yeah, but bro, I'm telling you, Somkiat Chantra is going to be
nowhere. Has been given a lifeline for that ride, but he's also been given, like, anything he does, he's not going to impress because the bike's terrible.
Yeah.
You know,
that's right.
He's a second off Pirro, and he's almost a second off Savadori on the Aprilia, and he's a second and a half, 2 seconds off Danny Pedrosa.
So who was testing the bikes?
So we'll give you day three shakedown of the results. So we got Quartararo first, Jack Miller second on the Yamaha.
V4?
So Yamaha's, right?
Oh,
yeah, but he's actually looking pretty quick on that Yamaha.
So the Yamaha was not running the V4 yet?
No.
Interesting.
Aleix Espargaró third, testing on the Honda. Exact same time as
Miller.
Which is actually, again, promising.
0.3 off Quartararo, weren't they?
Yeah.
0.309 or some shit.
Exactly. Iagura fourth, had really good result. Paul Espargaró fifth on the KDM. Fermín Elderger sixth. Alex Rins seventh. Miguel Oliveira eighth. He's only about half a second off Miller, which is very interesting as well. Danny Pedrosa ninth. Pirro 10th. Savadori, the test rider, obviously 11th. Yamaha, no name test rider, 12th. And coming in half a second off second last is Somkiat Chandra.
Mm. Mm.
That would have been Fernandez, I think.
Yeah, but surely they'll say Fernandez.
Yeah, I don't know how that works, because even at one stage I had two Yamaha test riders, which the other was Dovi.
Mm. Yeah,
they don't name them. I don't know why. Maybe they're not official test riders or something.
But they should be, because then Savadori and Pirro are test riders, and Danny Pedrosa and Paul Espargaró.
Both Espargarós.
Yeah, both Espargarós. Doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's an interesting one.
Mm, we'll see. I mean, testing's, we know over the years it's been all over the joint.
They're testing. That's the exact thing. They're testing equipment. They're testing a new thing. So it's sometimes going to be... What you want is race simulations.
That's right. That's
you'd want to be just punching out laps. Yeah.
That's where it's going to be at. But testing, they're going out, okay, this package works, this one doesn't. You know, I can see some development with this.
Yeah.
So it is a bit of a,
fuel loads to a certain extent with bikes makes a difference. Not a huge amount, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Well, and
so Thailand in next week's the test in Thailand.
Well, it's 2 weeks, I think, before we go.
Yeah, so next week, yeah.
So that's it. We should be there. But just going back to Chantra, everyone else could have tried to punch in a half a quick lap, and he's just been doing race sims.
Yeah, that's
you just never know. You can't.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
You can't judge it too hard.
I think that's where Fermín will get found out.
When a flag drops, the bullshit stops. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Mm. But I think that's where he'll get found out, is race sim. Or your practice sessions.
Yeah.
Because he's prone to going super hard at the front to try and get to that spot.
Mm.
I think that's where he'll get caught out.
Maybe. He's going to be on, obviously, a great bike, a championship-winning bike. But, God, he's just such an unknown.
Yeah. Mm.
Such an unknown, which is... Sometimes it can be a little bit easier to pick a rookie. You know, his outliers like Marc Marquez winning the title or, whatever. But he can just go either way and you just don't know.
Yeah. I mean, what I struggle with him is just the arrogance you feel. And him last year was nowhere.
A couple race wins, that's it.
And to back it up from his previous, previous year, which, he did so good in the second half of the year, and then got the contract. It's probably one of the most interesting stories this year for me was how he's going to go. Because if he's nowhere...
I think all eyes are going to be on him.
Yeah, it's a lot of pressure, I think.
There's a lot going on, though. You've got Fermín on the Grassini. You've got Iguri coming in. You've got Marquez on the factory Ducati. You've got
Acosta still, too.
Acosta.
His second season coming up.
Factory Kato. You've got Jorge Martin running the number one on the Aprilia.
There's a lot happening.
There's a lot going on. It's kind of going to be hard to know where to look.
All I reckon is it's the race on who's going to finish second behind Marc Marquez.
You reckon that's it? Well, what's your predictions for 2025,
I think Marc Marquez.
What about Bagnaia?
Second.
They're in Ducati one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's hard. It's such a hard pick.
I don't know about Martin. I don't I just don't know about him on the Aprilia. You know, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, when, well, no one knows the capability of that bike, like the KTM. And, you know, I think, yeah, it's maybe it's Marquez's or losers, but I think Mark Marquez's biggest enemy is Mark Marquez.
Yeah,
I think if he's going to lose a title, it's going to be off his back, throwing it down the road. And he's been... But maybe we talked about it a little bit last week. I can't remember, but or maybe it was on Tom's birthday. We'll still chat about MotoGP.
Yeah.
But you know, at the start of 2024, he was crashing a lot. Mm. Obviously, yes. Getting used to a brand new bike, and then he got really consistent and had a really good run at the end of the year. And that's going to be the thing, is if he's consistent now for 2025, then he's going to be a major title contender.
He was 20 horsepower down on that second bike, and. You know, another year under his belt on a factory bike, you know, I think his confidence levels will be up high. You know, I think he'll be champing at the bit. I really do.
Mm.
I mean, he's 8-time world champion. He just can't throw.
Yeah, he knows how to do it.
Of course.
And he's just so much more. I just still think he's that much more of a killer instinct than anyone else.
Oh, by far.
Yeah. He wants it bad.
Like, he will punt his own grandmother off to win a title. That's right. Like Marquez.
Yeah, Martin's the interesting one as well.
But I think Curtis made a great point last time we talked about the Bagnara thing, about taking wins off each other.
Yeah.
Which could be, you know,
That's true.
In their detriment.
Well, that's what I just edited a clip today about two teammates taking wins off each other. Yep. And we're talking about 2007 Formula One when it was Lewis and Alonso. 2008, taking wins off each other.
Yeah, Alonso and Hamilton's. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, 2007, you're right,
Kimi.
I mean, but for me, Martin comes out and has a ripper year and gets close. I mean, that's just an amazing effort.
You've got to give credit.
Yeah.
I would imagine if he wins it.
I know.
Like, it would be one of the... I know it's a hard imagine, but it would be one of the greats
all-time. It would be the greatest win since of Rossi. Modern era. On a Aprilia of all things.
Oh, by far.
Bring an Aprilia to the promised land.
On a first year, you know, and...
With
a
number one already on it.
The motivation's there for him.
Like, shit, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, keep that number one plate and...
And prove it to Aprilia, you, not the bike. Yeah.
And, you know, there's nothing more powerful than self-interest, right? So,
So that's the equivalent of Rossi going from Honda to Yamaha back in the day.
You know what? It's probably the most equivalent there is out there. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because they're both Italian brands. And,
that's right.
You know, Ducati owned that Italian thing. And Aprilia has always played second fiddle.
They definitely have. The only difference is the Yamaha back then, we knew like it was a bucket.
Yeah,
where
we
don't know how good the Aprilia is because the riders aren't there to be on it. Yeah. You know? That's the difference. Yeah.
But imagine.
And no, it'd be one for the ages for sure.
Oh, yeah. Mm.
But I just don't think, I think, you know, him carrying the number one plate is his way of saying, okay, I'm going to run a number one plate here now because I don't know if I'll be doing it next year.
Well, that's the other thing too, isn't it?
Yeah, you know. So, you know, but who knows? That's the beauty of it. You just don't know until...
Motorsport this year, I'm telling you, will go down in history of one of the best years. I mean, we've got
F1's are going to be
no
crazy
one knows who's
going
to win. You got Lewis Hamilton and Ferrari. You got Marquez going to Ducati. The two Italian big brands.
That's going to be fascinating with Lewis on Ferrari.
Well, we should tell him when we're on the Uber on the way to Tom's. We're talking about F1, funny enough. And we're talking about Hamilton. And I was like to Dad, oh, the Italians won't put up with all that bullshit woke shit though.
Yeah, they won't.
And I didn't realize that Uber driver was Italian. He's like, nah, fuck no. There's no way we're putting up with that.
Love it.
That's right. He goes, no way.
He's like, you wouldn't see a rainbow sticker on this car, would you? I'm like, yeah, you're one of the
He's probably
going
to dial it back a bit, but he's not going to. So it's going to cause a stir and it's going to be very interesting.
Well, it's a personality, isn't it, with the Italian team?
Yeah.
He's not stupid. He knows the deal. You know.
Yeah. I don't think he has the same level as respect in the paddock than what Mark Marquez has in the MotoGP paddock.
That's a big
call.
Yeah.
That's probably a fair call, though.
He's ruffled a few feathers over the years. And
Mark Marquez has.
Oh, 100%. But I think the...
In different ways, though. They're completely different ways.
Because Hamilton's turned F1 into this... You know, woke style of he's the rainbow flags and the no
and the
grid
way
girls
the gear
and
gets dressed up. When
yeah,
he walks
like he's turned it into this circus. Yeah. And yes, he's one of the best of all time. But it's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Was it Charles, the one that didn't kneel or something? Cause yeah.
Maybe, take a knee.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah,
it was
Charles.
Leclerc, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was, yeah. Yeah, I don't think Alonso did either. I mean, that was a basket case as well, that crap, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then the poor guys got alienated for not doing it, but they don't give two shits of what's happening in America.
Yeah, nah, that's right. Not everyone cares about America. Yeah. Fuck.
Like, seriously.
You're there to drive a car.
Yeah.
I know. Right.
That poor policeman was just trying to do the right job.
Survival of the fittest.
It's funny. It was a quote. Gene Simmons from Kiss once said about taking a political stance. As Antonio, he goes, "I'm sick of these guys do it. Just do what you're paid to: is juggle balls, play music, and act in films."
Yeah, it's true. Just do that.
Don't tell me how to think, bro. I'll figure it out.
And
myself.
We always say this: you sit down on a Sunday night for us. We have all this fucking bullshit all week.
Yeah, that's right.
And then we got to watch someone go on one knee or have a pride flag. We just want to watch sport.
Yeah,
like
that's right.
Come
so
on,
true,
like seriously,
man.
Like bring us to all together, not alienate everyone.
Yeah. And that's what sport used to do, is bring everyone together.
100%. Yeah. Well, Sam Newman said on the Footy Show, and he got slagged on for it as
crucified.
Well.
100%. Yeah. And he continues to get slagged on.
But it's the noisy minority, because the majority, I swear to God, is.
Yeah.
And
it's true.
And the proof in the pudding is look what happened in the election in America.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Australia Day, they did a poll. 70% of Australians don't want the date changed.
No.
Yeah.
But all see on the media is, no one wants to celebrate Australia Day.
But no one watches the media anyway these days. Nah, that's a joke.
That's right.
And but yeah, you're right about Trump getting back in. It just shows you where the silent majority prevails.
Yes, exactly.
You
know? Everyone's sick of that stuff. It is a shift.
So I think the whole world's shifting
it
back
to... It started with the grid girls in the Formula 1.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Crazy. I mean, and you made a good point about this. They're just taking them out of a job.
Yes.
It's not like they're getting forced to do it. They want to do
that's
it.
That's right. It's part of their job.
They have a whole organization that has these girls that do this for their living. They travel around and do it, and it promotes themselves and so on.
Yeah, 100%.
And to take it out because it's...
It's not like they were forced to do it. You're
right.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's a gunpoint there. Right.
Yeah.
But it's like taking offense on the behalf of someone else.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It pisses me off so much. Mm. America, get your shit together. Seriously.
Well, they
you ruin it for everyone
they
else.
They should now, but the...
At least with
MotoGP, they still get good girls on there and stuff
like that.
It's
a bit more old school.
You know? And you and the girls walk through the paddock at Phillip Bowl, like it brings everyone, you know, everyone brightens up their day.
Yeah, I'm sick of...
get a sore neck and shit, it's awesome.
I'm sick of looking at dudes the whole time.
But it just creates a bit of glamour in it.
It does,
Curtis was risen up the Monster Girls.
Yeah you
last
were.
Last one as well.
We got a couple of photos.
Where were those hands going, Curdy?
We call him the octopus because they're everywhere.
Octopussy. That's his anime he watches. No microphone, you can't get me back, Curtis.
Tentacles.
Oh, hilarious.
That's fairy to you. last one. I'm sorry. I won't edit this episode down.
Do it all yourself.
Yeah,
it's just insane, but yeah. Well, not much. There's not much news in Formula One.
Have we talked about Buddy Hamilton test driving that Ferrari in Monza? We talked about that last week. I can't remember.
Yeah, we did.
And he crashed it.
Yeah, we talked about that already. Yeah.
Anything else have out of that?
Nothing.
There's no coverage in F1 testing compared to MotoGP. I feel like it gets so much
but
more.
There's been no F1 testing yet.
Well, like Hamilton driving a fucking Ferrari is pretty big.
Nah, but it was an old 2-year-old car. It was just a show. It was just for a show, photos and stuff. It wasn't
real
testing.
But like, I still feel like no one cares.
Yeah.
They care more about the photo of him out the front of Buddy.
Yeah, with 7 windows open. And
They care more about that than him actually being in a red car.
What's the most amazing thing about F1 is they get 2 days of testing the whole year. Isn't that crazy?
That's
they've got to build a car, put it in a wind tunnel. They get limited wind tunnel time as well. The higher you go in the grid, you'll get less wind tunnel
time. Like Haas or someone will
get more. So it's all concessions.
Yeah. So they can't test privately.
No private test. They've got a Pirelli tire test a week before launch.
Yeah.
So they can do about, I think it's 25 laps with the new tires, and it's a photo opportunity. Then they go on a 2-day Catalunya test. That's it.
Shit track for a test. Yeah.
So everything must be simulated.
Everyone must
be
simulated.
It's all sims, isn't it?
But if you've got issues like Sauber last year with their pit stops, it took them to the
45
sixth round.
Seconds.
It took them to the sixth round because they had the wrong nut on the car, you know?
That's crazy.
It's crazy.
But okay, if Mercedes, Red Bull, Ferrari, McLaren, would they just say round numbers have a $20 million sim compared to Haas that might have a $1 million sim? So then... They're already like they've got concessions obviously, but then they can still progress that gap.
Yeah, their 100%. Data's not as good.
If that makes sense.
And as detailed.
Well, what they've done in the last few years is a budget cap, and that's been a big thing. And I don't know how they police this. I really don't. But they got to submit all their financials to everything, and they've got to all have the same cap. So they can't spend X amount on this, X amount on that. So they should all be a level playing field.
Do you reckon all the Ferrari like wogs just pay cash or under the
it's all brown paper bag?
Well,
probably. Yeah, you're right. But I mean, the facilities at Mercedes and Red Bull are going to be far superior than Haas.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah. Like all so those, course, and so if you're testing sims all the time,
and you're paying this guy an X amount of dollars who works for Ferrari, he's not going to be as good as a Haas employee as well. So it's all about your personnel as well. But 2 days of testing, I mean, it's crazy. They used to have unlimited testing. They used to have mid-season testing. They had all these little things.
Is it too little? Little testing, in your opinion?
I think it's made the field closer.
Okay.
Because you got to remember, back in the 80s or 90s when Prost and Senna were going around, that McLaren was 2 seconds a lot faster than anything else. That doesn't happen anymore.
No. 89, I think it won every race except for one. Ferrari won the other one.
Speaking of sims, just a bit on MotoGP with that. Bridgestone had they had 10 years in the game and developed a computer system called UI.
Mm.
And they developed all their GP tires on computer.
That's amazing.
That's a Japanese thing.
And they then developed, and obviously the Bridgestone being an awesome, great, you know, tire, obviously they developed it really well. They then used that computer system to build street tires.
Yeah, right.
And, you know, their 22s and so on were all done on UI. But they also then started thinking, well, if we can get that sort of good result on that tyre, we'll put it on a Harley tyre. So their battle cruisers were then UI'd, and all the guys who would use those would think they were out of sight, you know, just they could handle.
Mm.
So that simulation was, you'd think that the developer time just do on a track, but it was all just done on computer.
Yeah, it's crazy. Similar story with F1 with Michelin and Bridgestone when they had the tyre wars. Mm. When Pirelli took over, they bought both their technologies and bought them both, all the rights to them, and used both their sims to develop their new tyres.
So. Bring back Tyre Wars, I say.
Yeah, 100%. It's an interesting topic. It is, yeah.
Because it was a rider championship, a manufacturing championship, and a tyre. And the beauty was, what I really liked about it, because it mixed it up, you'd have a Dunlop track, you'd have a Bridgestone track or Michelin. Because of, you know, the certain conditions, whatever, and so you mix up the field a bit. And
We had this conversation with Moto3 last week. Should it all be one bike, so it's all fair?
Yeah, I didn't know with Moto3 though that they're looking to take it to like a two little twin cylinder
500
shitboxing, which is that's bullshit.
Is it cheaper, obviously,
to try and bridge the gap from 3 to 2?
Yeah, okay.
They're finding that when people go up.
Well, they can't.
They're struggling a lot.
The first year, they can never do anything on the bike. Isn't
so that's why they're trying to make it a bigger bike in the Moto3.
Except for Jack Miller goes from Moto3 to GP straight off.
Hey, and Darren Binder.
So it can be
done.
True.
Yeah, true.
But we'll see again, David Alonso on a Moto2 bike. That, I think we said that a few weeks ago. It's probably the most exciting thing.
Yeah, it's another exciting thing.
You know, that is going to be incredible. Yeah, to see what he can do.
What an absolute star.
Even if he has race wins, you know, he's the next. Well, we already know he's the next big thing, but it sort of cements that, I suppose.
Well, okay. Let's just say he does a sweet F4 and struggles to get into the top 10.
Aldeguer. We'll put him in the same category.
But, like, you know, how quickly would he just be disowned from that paddock? You know what I mean?
It's
like,
so it's amazing.
It's so finicky?
Yeah.
Is that the word?
Fickle.
That's the word. Fickle.
But you look at Jack Miller. Jack Miller had heaps of talent, and now he's had 2 bad years on the bike, and everyone thinks he's shit. It's just so quick in the game.
Yeah, it is quick. Baldassare is a bloody prime example. He went into one of the Moto2 seasons as the hot favourite. The man did sweet F4 and then went down to Supersport. Yep. Juan Massia, he's in World Supersport and he just won a Moto3 title 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We had this conversation, I think, didn't we, at your party, right, about...
So all we did was talk about bloody MotoGP and Formula 1 at your party.
That's right. But you were talking about the performance of riders and what happens when they go off the edge a bit. And, you know, like, I can't speak for Jack Miller, but I mean, he's been married, he's now got a kid.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of gun riders, you know, up to 19 years old, they're different to when you are at 21, 22.
Correct.
And that's why they use them as fighter pilots in 19 years old, because when I get to 21, I start having a bit more
self-preservation.
Yeah.
The frontal lobe develops.
So with GP, I mean, you know, these guys are pushing the envelope, absolutely. And where a rider who's going to make a move may just subconsciously think something, you know what I mean? I'm not saying with everyone you can do it, but I think that may have some effect.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, it just...
Oh, it's that classic quote you said a few weeks ago with Alonso and Schumacher.
He's got a wife and two
kids. Yeah, how did you know he was going to break? He goes, "You got a wife and two kids at home."
It's a massive thing.
It is, because you know, all of a sudden you've got someone else to think about rather than yourself.
Ice cold comment.
It's number one. It's number one.
But it's true. That's how I think. That's what I think. Anyway.
Yeah, it's a good point. A really good point.
And
but like, there's just riders over the years. It's amazing, and I don't like. Rabat won a championship and then did absolutely nothing on the bike.
Two championships.
There's just so many examples of that in motorcycle racing. I don't think there is that much more. It's not the same in car racing.
But they lose they can lose their hunger too. I mean, it's like they reach the pinnacle and they've just their drive has gone they've got there. And it takes a special one to keep that momentum going.
And then into your late 20s or your 30s, as you said, like that's another level again. Yeah. Your Marquez's, Rossi, your Rossi's.
Rossi, right?
Yeah.
You know, into what,
40s? 41.
Still on the pace, right? Yeah.
Like, he was winning titles, I think, in his late 20s or early 30s, Valentino, which is going up against 18-year-olds, you know, as you said, they're just crazy.
Yeah.
But it's like anything. I heard today on the radio about someone wrote about becoming an expert. And if you do 1,000 hours of anything, you're going to become an expert at that. Right, and that's it. If you do and he's done that, Rossi.
Yeah.
Right, and you know, so his age takes probably second to his experience and what he's done of his time. So that got him through.
But then you think, you know, all these Spanish kids coming through, they've probably all done this. Surely they've all done the same hours, and then it goes down to either natural ability or your
drive.
Your mentalness.
Yeah, mental toughness.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. It's what's in between your ears is what's really carrying it through. But
I think that's with any sport. Like we were speaking about Michael Jordan the other day, and I think we spoke about it on the pod. Like that dude was insane.
I've got to see that. I haven't seen that.
The last dance.
Oh, fantastic.
If you ever, it's amazing. If you ever want to,
he needs some motivation.
Oh man, like he just was demanded perfection, and that's why he was so good.
It's really and created enemies in his head, and you know, it's it's special kind of people.
Yeah. Well, I think you had that thing on Nike, was to be number one, you've got to train like you're number two. Which
That's a good, great quote.
Know, it is a great quote, you know.
You know, you've got to have that chip on your shoulder. You've got to be a bit arrogant. You know, Jorge Lorenzo came in arrogant but it's the only way to do it. If you want to go up against Valentino Rossi, you got to just
have
no fucks.
If you get on a starting line and think that you're not going to win, you're not going to win.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. May as well pack up and go home.
Yes, that's right. You've got to have that self-belief.
And then you look at Casey, who just packed it all in at 25 years old or 27 years old or whatever it was. You know, so young, still had so much more time.
I think with Casey, he was sort of over the politics.
Hard.
I think Moto 2 and, you know, how they were treated back then, I think that sort of got up him, and he sort of didn't like how it was going in a paddock, and he just wanted to get out. And plus, you know, was he married before he finished or married after he finished?
No, during his career.
Yeah,
he got married.
I think he might have. He's definitely with her in his first championship, too.
I reckon he had a kid by the time he won a title at Repsol Honda.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Well, what we need to do is get him on the pod and we'll ask him.
We'd love to. Yeah.
True. Doesn't like the media too much. We're not media, but we're podcast.
We're against the media.
Yeah. We're actually on his side.
Anti-media.
Yeah.
Just with F1, Tom.
Yeah.
Where do you see Charles this year in that Ferrari?
I think he's going to go really well. I think he's going to outscore Hamilton. I got a box of beer on that with my mate Alfie as well. I think Hamilton's going to push him harder than he's ever been pushed before. And he's got one more experience under his belt. So
is the car good enough?
I don't know. I think their peak performance, all those four teams just peaked. Like I think they're right at that level of where they can develop these current rules.
But do you reckon it's the same as a Red Bull, that Ferrari?
Oh, I think it's better than a Red Bull.
Yeah.
Okay, I think Red Bull's probably going to be the fourth fastest
car. That's what I thought,
But Max is just Max, you know. He'll he'll wring the neck out of
he'll
it.
He'll find a way.
But it's the last, always the last year between, because it's last year before the rule change.
The regs, yeah.
So the new regs coming in, this is where they've absolutely peaked in performance. We're going to see a fast year this year. I'm predicting a lot of accidents because it's going to be that top six, top eight going for every race win. There's going to be a lot of mistakes, but it's going to be super exciting.
What's the engine configuration going to be for next year?
They're going to still going to be V6 turbo, but they're going to they're getting rid of the they're getting rid of one of their MG UK systems. So they're actually making it a little bit more simpler. But they're saying that it's going to go to more of an engine formula like when Mercedes were dominating in 14. So Ford coming in, who's going to be the Red Bull?
Red Bull.
And funny talk about this. This is why supercars, their Red Bull team is going Fords.
Because
it's a worldwide thing. They're going everything Red Bull and Ford are going. They're connecting a partnership because that's big news over the last few days. Is they've been with Holden for 15 years. So that's another reason why they've gone for the Mustangs from next year.
Yeah,
but Ford coming in, it could be a dog shit engine. It could be like Honda and McLaren. We don't know.
It's true.
So, and this is where Max is going to be his last go at it. And if he starts 26 and the car's rubbish, he'll leave. He'll walk out.
I don't know about you, but I mean, you look at YouTube, these things, the sound, V10s, V8s.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Those V10s back in the day.
Yeah. Just, if you listen to Eddie Jordan, he's...
Wow.
Eddie Jordan, the famous racer, team owner and everything. He came out and just said it's the worst thing they've ever done in Formula One.
Yeah.
And he's gone on publicly and said that.
Yeah.
And it is. I mean, how exciting would it be if they had the V10s back?
They were amazing. Their sound is just phenomenal.
Yeah. But, it's interesting. We'll see how the world goes. I mean, it's...
Trump might bring him back.
Yeah.
Well, he's brought the two-stroke Kawasaki back, so he's halfway there. Yeah. What were you going to say, Curdy? You don't have a mic, unfortunately.
Just talking about Ferrari for a second. Since the 2nd of Feb, this month actually, their stock price has gone up $7 billion capital-wise, estimated to close at $7 billion increase.
Wow,
so from Hamilton, and especially from the, what was that, Instagram post that he did with him in like the coat and stuff like that. Getting the feeling that Ferrari may come with a bit more of a meaner attitude, like an older attitude, especially with that Instagram post with Hamilton in that coat, a bit more mafia style, you could say. I wouldn't be surprised if they start chucking money and just going like, just go fast, fucking fast. I won't expect the best results this year, but next year they've got some capital that they can throw at Ferrari.
The problem with Ferrari is they're almost the ultimate cock tease because sometimes they can promise so much and then deliver so little, you know. So it's a really hard one.
Well, they've got the money.
They definitely got the money, yeah.
So I reckon they're going to chuck it at someone.
Budget caps, though, Curdy. Budget cap's an issue always with Formula One now.
It's always an issue.
Yeah. But we'll see. And I think it's a good thing because you can hire the right people, you can spend the money elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's...
make it work in your favour.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting. But yeah, so Red Bull, Ford, it's going to be a worldwide partnership. That's the big thing with that news with coming out of supercars as well. So
watching that Senna doco, it was so cool. I didn't realise Senna and the head honcho of McLaren, whatever it is, went over to Japan to then poach the Honda engines for McLaren. Yeah. Like, what an amazing story that is. Had to go to a shitty little karaoke. I don't know how real that is, but a karaoke bar and standard Japanese. They love it. But it's just so interesting.
Well, you got to wine and dine, don't you? That's the culture.
Well, yeah, they had to do the karaoke.
Yeah.
That's right.
That's a part of the KFC and karaoke. They're two things in Japan. That's what they have on Christmas.
That's how deals were done back in the day. You know, that was...
Yeah. And it would have been handshake agreements back then as well.
Yeah.
That's right. It was the honour, you know.
They're almost too honourable, the Japanese. They've got to stab themselves when they lose wars and stuff.
And then we've got also 26 Aston Martin coming back with Adrian Newey to car design. Because I don't think Adrian Newey had much to do with this year's car, for more reports.
Isn't that Lance Stroll, is he still driving?
Yeah, his dad owns
Aston Martin thing.
Yeah.
So he's got a contract that doesn't have an end date. You know that?
Yeah, look.
Because he's a billionaire son.
How is Lance Stroll going? I mean,
terrible. He's hopeless.
You had a little bit of hope of him when we first started the pod.
I did. Yeah. Yeah.
Big fan.
You said, right?
That vision of him. Okay, I don't know if you saw Brazil last year.
Yeah.
Formation lap. He spins out.
Yes.
He drives straight through the gravel track and gets bogged. He could have just gone around, gone to the back of the field, started at the rear, and then he just gets up and walks away.
Yeah. Yeah, like daddy, get the car. You know.
Like, you know, just like hopeless. And it's not fair. If that car is a weapon next year with the new designer and he's in the car, it's going to be a travesty.
Yeah.
But he's not going to be good enough to win a world title, though.
Who's his teammate?
Fernando Alonso.
Alonso is still driving.
Alonso's last year will be next year. It's his one last shot at another world championship.
Isn't he a classic retro Formula One driver?
He's the last bastion, isn't he?
He's collar up, smoking a cigar.
He's 40. Isn't he 44 years old?
Yeah.
And Mark Dammy made a good point. It shows you how easy these cars are to drive.
Mm.
Because, you know, a 44-year-old shouldn't be driving, shouldn't be able to swing these around.
At the
highest pinnacle of sport of Formula One and the G-forces.
Yeah. So it's interesting. Yeah. We'll see. It's I can't wait for the both championships. I mean, we've got MotoGP and F1. I mean, I'm just sizzling right now.
Yeah. Because it's hot or?
Well, yeah. The juices are flowing. The juices are flowing.
Well, we say that every year. I mean, it always promises so much. I mean, it's
but
it's good.
This year's something different, I think.
Well, we're gonna be there for both first round MotoGP and Formula One. Like, it's pretty historic.
I know. Yeah, it's going to be... I mean, and when do you get that opportunity? Because no one really wants to go to Qatar. I mean, it's a beautiful track. We all love it. But traveling to a country where I can't go have a beer might be a bit of a struggle.
Yeah, so. Kill you, that's for sure.
Yeah, so and I think this is going to be a couple of years it's going to be in Thailand. So,
yeah.
That's good.
We'll see.
Mm. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Brewery-am.
Watch out. Have you found a pub yet for Saturday night?
Well, the hotel we're staying at is usually about $16 a night, but MotoGP's there, so it's going to cost five. It's costing us $500 a night.
Do they have a bar?
They do. Yeah, they do. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, they've got 7-Elevens there. That's where you get all your grog from. So. Yeah. You know, they've been over Southeast Asia.
Wang Dang, Fung Dang.
Fuck you.
Yeah. Yeah, it's. I was just saying to James that the electrical system there in third world countries is something.
But you know what's crazy? Something to behold. It's fast internet, unbelievably fast internet in those Asian countries. It's just
efficient.
So good for
efficient.
The hub.
The tube.
But you'll be loving the heat, so that'd be.
It is.
Just get into some air conditioned rooms.
But you know what? For me, I didn't care if I'm covered in sweat. Just give me some sunglasses, man. If I have sunglasses on, I'm fine. It's just these stupid things that.
Yes.
You know, if you've got sunnies on and you're sweating, you look half all right. So.
You should wear a sweatband at the track. We'll get you a Motorsport Republica one.
Yeah, fucking sprint it on there.
Yeah.
But hat, sunnies, I'll be right.
Sunscreen?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you don't get burnt over there like you do here, though.
You reckon?
Not as bad.
Well, don't walk around.
It's like when you go to Europe. I bet you wouldn't get that burnt in Europe.
I didn't really get burnt.
Yeah, you just go black.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
olive skin, you know. Good genetics.
That's it.
My arms don't get burnt, but my chest and back just get red raw. And my nose.
Yeah.
That's big. That's big.
Matches the drapes, mate.
Yeah, big feet.
Yeah, it runs in the family, right?
Oh, goodness.
100 episodes, boys.
Yeah, yes, favorite moment. I think we all...
Episode 89, I reckon.
Good answer.
Jorge Martin, 89.
You know what? That's one of our biggest episodes, funny enough.
Yeah
I think you went, play 30 seconds, play 30 seconds. You've got to listen to 30 seconds of counters of you. You didn't know that.
You're welcome anyway.
Right, you are.
But yeah, so many great moments, isn't there? I mean, like, Philip Island, I think, was a highlight. All around for all of us. I mean, it was just an amazing week, wasn't it?
Cheesy was my favourite moment of all time. I don't know what episode that is. I think it might be like one or two after our Phillip Island episode.
Well, yeah, I don't know if you saw, my old man put a video collage together. Yeah. And on that moment, you actually edited it and gave it to him, didn't you? And,
yeah.
Yeah, not as cheesy as Sunday night, that's for sure. Curtis has still got some gossip he has to give us on that one.
Oh, yeah, we've got to chase you up on that.
Yeah, we can't get him drunk either and bloody get it out of him, unfortunately. So.
What about ketamine? We'll get you in a K-hole.
Lucky K-hole.
It's just horse medicine. It's good for you.
Yeah, it's natural. Natural.
Insert it in the rectum. It's all good.
But we had a pilot episode. I think our viewers would know that we all filmed. The first time I've ever met Daniel.
Yeah, I know. Crazy, man.
Walked into our house and my house and then we filmed it on this black leather couch and we'll release it one day to the public. It might be a Patreon episode. We can put it up.
We got I don't know, maybe in like episode 1,000 or something and we're huge. We'll
and then I remember the first...
It's too good. We got to hold on to it. It's nowhere near it being released.
It's so bad it's good.
Yeah.
I remember the first episode. We're at home. We've got Ibby. and Curtis there, and I'm shaking. I was so nervous.
We had to drink beers.
Yeah,
I remember that because I watched it. You had the beers going.
We've gone past that now, but
I wouldn't mind one now though.
Yeah, we'll have one. Nothing like a tasty Benzina beer. Yes. They're the best tasting one. We went from there, didn't we? Flourished from the old fourth bedroom to Benzina. So, and then who knows where the future holds? And favorite moment, James.
For me, cheesy. Yep. Laughing about Sunday night antics for me was definitely my favorite on pod. But it has to be Philip Island if it's not that.
Yeah, yeah.
But actually, one of my favorite episodes is Damo Cudlin when we first went out and we had a massive trip. We left it. It was a 3 a.m. wake up, flew out at 6 a.m. to Sydney, met up with you. You were already there. Then we drove 5 hours to do a podcast of Damo up in the middle of nowhere in New South Wales. Then drove 5 hours back, caught the last flight out of Sydney at 10 p.m.
Mm.
Got home at 1:30, 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then went to work the next morning.
Who does that?
I know, that was
crazy. So commitment to the cause.
It was commitment to
the
cause.
So we flew to Sydney, then we drove 10 hours in total, flew back to Melbourne in one day.
Yeah.
I mean, that is just...
And doing a pod. We were wrecked.
That's just wild. I mean, that's like David Shaw endurance 2 hour bloody story low on that one. And I was saying before the pod, I'm like, no one does that now. I'm like, we did it.
Yeah.
We did it.
Yeah.
I remember driving up and, oh God,
you need to do
crazy.
One at my house in the garage.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Mm. Maybe, what's a cooler month?
Winter. Winter's great.
Yeah, July.
Yeah, we'll come up in the winter actually.
Yeah, winter's
great. Yeah, lock that in. Daniel, favourite moment?
Yeah, probably that whole demo thing was pretty good. And then I got stuck in Sydney actually that night because there was severe weather warnings back to Wollongong. So I had to book a hotel last minute.
That's
after
right.
We dropped you boys off.
With Dad, with Pino.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did that. That was fun. But, there's so many.
You know what was a good one with you? Sorry to steal your thunder, but Brent Stevens.
That was fun. That was really good.
That was a great pod.
Really mechanic. Good.
Crew Halliday's knocking on the window and then rolls in. He almost busts the door open half naked, which would have been amazing for the pod. But... I think Brian Starring as well was the one that sits with me.
The first guest was the first special guest.
Oh, Damo Garipoli was the first special guest, but
no, he flopped. Gazza
got scared.
Damo Gazza.
Damo freeze Garipoli.
Nah, he's alright, Damo.
Hey, Damo, what was your favourite Rossi moment? Just all of it. Come on, man.
Do you have a favourite helmet? Just the yellow one.
The moon on it,
But Brian's we were so nervous and trying to find
shitting myself.
Trying to find a spot and then, just speaking to him beforehand and doing run sheets and all that kind of stuff. And I think, and just meeting everyone has been really cool.
Sunny Coast was amazing.
Chris.
It's little funny moments like us, I don't know, we're on the beach.
Yeah.
And it was winter time down here and we were floating, and then we got to the RSL for a beer. I mean, that was awesome.
Oh, that was good.
That's Queensland lifestyle.
And then we drove to Chris Vermeulen's house in the hills and had a beautiful property and he was showing us all these old race leathers and old bikes. Yeah. I mean, we've been to some crazy places we never thought we'd be.
And not seen race leathers.
Stuff
that's the ones full that collectible items.
Yeah, that stuff's all pretty cool.
Very cool.
And having his bike in there, which is...
The MotoGP bike. Sitting on that was cool, wasn't it?
That was. Well, it's our profile picture on Facebook, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what about you, Tom? Some of your favourites?
Oh, look, I think, Sunny Coast for me. I really enjoyed that trip. Yeah. And I think we went up there and we watched... The last two,
they had no sleep. What's with our trips and no sleep?
Yeah, we love a 6 a.m. flight. We love a cheap flight.
But then we had to stay up because of the last round of MotoGP
and
F1.
And I remember sleeping that day. I think I had a nap and I woke up and I was like,
you were fucked.
I was fucking, I've reckoned in my life I've napped 5 times and I napped.
Yeah.
And we woke up and then we went out for dinner with Renita. That was awesome as well. Mm. So many, all those are just highlights for me.
Yeah, staying up, that's right, because we stayed
Wollongong was fun as well. We went to Wollongong.
Yeah, Wollongong was
in
good.
In the beach, and that was a funny moment.
I almost got stabbed by all the Lebs from Bankstown.
Lebsticks. Yeah, that was...
What was the Wollongong episode? What was that for?
Jacob's first episode of Jacob Rulston. I'm wishing him a speedy recovery.
Yeah,
100%.
Yeah,
he's
feeling right.
Better.
We stayed at Daniel's late nonna's house, and that was really special, and so much history in that house as well, obviously.
Getting yelled at 5 a.m. and thought something was going on. Daniel! I was like, shit, fuck, nonna's dying or something.
That was a laugh, man.
Literally
that was
2 minutes before my alarm went off, too. I'm like, nonna, it's sorted, don't worry.
The limoncello over the cap was open.
He was on the hub, actually, just trying to crank one out in the morning.
Just before we got away.
It was. But yeah, so much driving. We drove up to Wollongong, drove back. I mean, yeah.
Far out, man. Yeah. Super's after party was good.
Yeah.
Unexpectedly good.
Vandermark just puffing away.
Puffing away on the darts, yeah. Superbikes was actually, I was saying this to James during the week, how fun it was last year. Like, at the track, we had such a good time. The weather was really good.
Yeah, we did. We got a good weekend, actually.
And we had a really good weekend. And
hopefully it's the same this year.
Yeah, hopefully it is, yeah.
Yeah, well, that helps the weather.
I can't believe it's come around again. It just felt like a couple of weeks ago we were at Superbikes.
Yeah.
It's come around so quick.
I know.
Heaps happening.
I'm looking forward to that.
It's a great event, what they do. I mean, you never think they... you know, you never see on TV how good it is. You got to go to that those pits. I mean, how fun that is with Michael Hill Jewelers, and he's so good.
Yeah, we'll be down. I'll be down definitely the Saturday and the Sunday. I just don't know about the Friday. But we're probably doing pods through that week, so I don't know. I'm probably going to be fly out
Thursday morning.
Yeah.
I'm not talking the whole week this year.
You are not?
Nah, it's too much.
Yeah.
What time are you flying back? Oh, what time you drive? Like the Sunday? You're going to go back?
I'll come home after. Sunday after the race at some stage. So... But it should be good. There's a lot happening there, so be interesting.
Your favourite moment of the pod, David?
Oh, episode 89.
That was the World Championship episode.
That was a good episode.
And the irony of that was the 89 being Martin.
I know, and he won it.
Sort of incredible, wasn't it? You know, I like the guests, you know. Vermeulen and Cudlin and stuff.
It's funny, our guest apps never get as many views as our normal
apps. Yeah, it's weird.
How crazy is that? I thought, like... It would be heaps more. But yeah, guys, just get back and watch those special guest episodes.
They're really interesting.
They are good.
Well, you get a good insight. And I like the way that it's, you know, you're finding a bit more about them and what they do and stuff. So
that's... Oh, Brett Stevens, for me, just listening back, is probably one of my favourite pods. Like, it was just so interesting to listen to his the history of the stories.
Yeah. Cam Donald.
Talk about intensity.
Yeah, he's an intense man.
Gavin Emmett was fantastic as well. I really enjoyed his...
Spoke really well. Something about the poems. They speak so well. They can either speak like gypsies or they can speak amazing.
I just find them more interesting to listen to for some weird reason.
They make the best commentators.
And they tell they're good storytellers.
Yeah.
Really good storytellers. So when I hear an Aussie accent, I go, oh, here we go. Come on, mate. Like, it's crazy. I listen to my own accent. I go, come on, what are you saying?
Here, you're listening to Daryl Beatty.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though you got a good story about Daryl Beatty.
Daryl Beatty, that's right.
Your arch nemesis.
No, that's like, he finished second in the World Championship one year. So
people forget that. We were just talking about this. People forget that Daryl Beatty finished second in a World Championship.
Yeah.
Now, that's massive.
Now, I've got a take on that. Me and my 5 world titles and 2 times. I'm actually, on that basis, I'm actually a world champion because I beat Daryl Beatty in a road race, right? Now, the story, that's a true story. It was at Winton and Michael Dowson was down at Queensland Mulberry Yamaha rider. I think it was rider maybe Kevin McGee at the time. And before McDoohan came on board. Anyway, they brought this young kid, 16-year-old Daryl Beatty in, and he was a bit of a protege.
How old were you?
I was 25.
He was 16.
That's a child.
Yeah, I was just a child.
He's a child.
Yeah. I was actually younger than you guys.
His voice hasn't even dropped yet, Daryl Beatty. You can't claim that one.
No, but he was on a TZ350, and those things were rocket ships. Right? Okay. And around Winton, you know, there was a 350 class, which would have been awesome to ride. If you were like 5'4 or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
So anyway, it was. I was trying to think today. I think it was the Australian Grand Prix that was held there. He was down for, and I finished third, and he finished fourth on that one. So I remember he was probably a bike length behind me coming across the line. And I was on the GPX Superbike, which pretty much was a stocker with a hot engine, and he was on a race. And then it was Daryl Beatty, and, you know, of course he was just some kid at the time.
Then
obviously seeing his career go, and I thought, oh, yeah, okay. Every time he won, that puts me in front of him.
Classic.
So that was, I think, winter. It was 40-degree day.
Shit.
And I remember there was this guy in a sidecar racing, you know, over the top. And on the last lap, the rider went unconscious from heat exhaustion.
Jesus.
No. Straight off the track, right? And Donna Gardner was there. And we went up on the podium thing. And they came up and gave us water and stuff like that. And the prize money and so on. And... which was like $250, right? Yeah. So, you know, it was bloody
hard. I don't get that sidecar racing. I don't get what they get out of that.
I used to hate going on after them because I always dumped oil.
Yes.
You know?
Okay.
So there was always a way. You'd be cement dust I'd put down on the oil.
Yeah, right.
So you'd come in and, you know, you'd be very careful on that because it was always
on the
apex.
You might as well drive a car. I don't get the sidecar at all. Like, I just don't get the...
how people get passionate by that.
Back in those days, it's probably like now, but you know, there were superbike guys, there was the 250 Grand Prix guys, sidecar guys, and all didn't mix.
Yeah,
it was right. Like superbike guys were there, you know, and the sidecar guys were a different breed. They were like from the hills.
Yeah,
and,
okay.
Yeah, they'd
come down.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Where it stemmed from? It's just, and you need two people, obviously. Well,
it's the monkey.
Yeah,
the guy that hangs up.
Well, that's
right. James, you can't call him that anymore.
Well, that's why they call them monkeys, right?
Yes, they do.
It's 2025.
Actually, I remember back in the 80s with the 500 Grand Prix, they used to actually have the Grand Prix sidecars racing at the same time. They had these huge long things, specially made sidecars that would race concurrently with the, you know, in the program.
And the monkey in the left, is he or she just moving around their body weight?
I love the way he's politically correct there, he or she. Actually, well, Margaret Halliday was Australian champion. She was a sidecar
shout
passenger.
Out.
Yeah,
shout
so.
Out. But yeah, have you seen him do it at the Isle of Man?
It's crazy, but I just either ride a bike or drive a car. Just don't get
it's a wild. It is a wild. Yeah.
It's a sidecar.
Where did it stem from, though? Like,
because it stemmed from when people had sidecars. Because back in the day, they didn't have money to buy a car, so they had a motorcycle with a sidecar on it, so they could take their family around in it. Right?
But who thought, oh, let's race them instead of racing just
it's
motorbikes?
It's classic because it's like, you know, how did motorcycle racing start? When they built the second motorcycle.
Yeah, yeah, true, true. You know, true.
It's like how NASCAR started bootleggers with alcohol.
With moonshine,
you know?
Yeah.
So they will race anything. People race anything, you know.
It's just amazing it's still alive today.
It's like
you know?
You're talking about Vespas before, racing those.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, if it's got a motor, they'll race it.
I want to do that 24-hour bloody scooter race. Didn't they do that in Newcastle or something?
They were doing that at South Morang.
24 hours.
A 24-hour scooter race in South Marine. You know that little go-kart?
Yeah. It's all units now.
Yeah. Is it? Yeah. That's what they used to do it there. Yeah. But that would be incredible.
That would be fun. Mm.
I'm sure there was one in Newcastle.
No, the race they do, I think in Newcastle. Oh, no, that was
like a posty bike.
Posty bikes in Cessnock.
Cessnock, that would be fun.
It's not a 24-hour. Cool. It's It's like a street race type thing.
Yeah, it looks cool though.
But they're hotted up.
Yeah,
these
they
guys
are.
Take it seriously.
They're legit.
Yeah, they're
Just before we jump on hot takes, Curdy, grab this and give us a couple of your favourite moments, mate. Can't forget about you.
Phillip Island and Gavin Emmett. That podcast we could have talked, or you guys could have talked for fucking hours.
And that was the one that I was thinking, I can't do this. Like, this is the third pod of the day. Yeah. I was like six or seven deep.
Yeah.
You had to have beers to keep you going.
I'm like, James, I can't go. I can't do it. He's like, come on, let's do it. And then it was one of the best. Like, it's such a good point.
Could have gone
for
like 3-4 hours on that one.
Yeah.
I can't remember what pod this one was exactly, but you guys all went as characters. James, you were Stone Cold.
Yeah.
You came in the Verstappen cheeseburger one piece suit, and Dan, you were the, what was it, the Italian mechanic, was it? Yeah, with the chalk and everything.
Was that
Patreon?
That was Patreon.
That one was a good one as well.
Cheeseburger Verstappen,
yeah.
Thanks, Curdy.
Special mention to Curdy doing the MotoGP after party completely sober as well. Hard work. I can't really remember you that night, actually, to be honest.
You guys
are
mostly gone.
Yeah. What were you doing? You were downstairs, were you?
He was mingling downstairs.
Oh, yeah, I know. I can't say what you were doing now, but you were doing something.
You get in trouble for that.
Cheesy. Let's just say cheesy.
Oh, yeah. He's got some goss I want to know, but we'll see. We'll get it out of him one day.
All right, fellas. Hot takes, burning questions. Thank you for everyone sending them in. We had a shit ton this week, actually. So let's just dive right in. At Andrew.edsa, Marquez will win the Thai GP with Pecco tucking the front, trying to keep up.
It could happen.
It could be either way.
Either
I
way, yeah. Do you think Bagnaia is going to win the championship? Boy, he's got a lot to bounce back from. If he strings it together and he's consistent, yes.
But I think we all think that, like, realistically, if Bagnaia was consistent, he would have easily won the championship.
Oh, he wins that by a mile.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting one.
I don't know. Everyone jumped on Marquez coming into last year.
I did.
You know what I mean? I'm not 1,000,000% convinced that he's going to go out and win by a country mile, but it'll be interesting.
We'll get our prediction show coming up in the next 2 weeks, F1 and MotoGP, so that's going to be something to look forward to.
100%.
I jumped a bit early in that one.
And Bagnaia needs to, I guess, sort out his sprint races as well.
Yeah,
that was 100%. A bit of his Achilles heel, especially at the start of 2024. Mm. That's where Martin made a lot of points at the start of the year. That's Mitchell Munting. Now, congratulations to Mitch. He won our Foosport giveaway with Moto Heaven.
Nice,
so
mate. That's
congrats
awesome.
To him. As much as I hate to say it, Pecco will finish ahead of Mark in the championship. So it's just two different takes right there.
Yeah, it's interesting. So he obviously doesn't want that to happen.
Nah.
It's amazing all these guys coming out of the woodworks been going for Marquez now. I mean, a few years ago, he was hated by a lot of people. Hated. 50% of the fans didn't like Marquez. And I think it's now only probably 20% of the fans.
Yeah.
You guys always were fans. I was not a fan of him.
But I could never understand why not.
Yeah, same.
It's just the Rossi era, isn't it?
I mean, that's the thing.
But, you know, it still doesn't make sense to me how you can... I mean, I like Rossi.
Mm.
Marquez. Right. I mean, I can do both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know? It's just so tribal.
But most Marquez fans still like Rossi.
You know, like, it's not like a football team. I mean, you know. Well, I guess it is in some people.
It's pretty tribal. It is. It's just all online comments and people get caught up and all that stuff as well. Like, they're both really good. Like, geez.
Kurt's collapsed.
He's had enough.
He's collapsed. You're right, mate. Yeah, good, beautiful.
The only reason I liked Marquez is because I loved just how he went about it. He was just so aggressive and just amazing to watch on a bike. Like, his natural talent is incredible.
His saves were amazing.
And his saves. Yeah. How good were his saves?
That's what really done.
Yeah. God, he changed the game with that. He was the first real rider to save crashes with his elbow on a consistent but, you know, all the greats leave their mark. Rossi with his leg
the
out.
Leg dangle.
Yes.
Kenny Roberts Sr. With drag in the knee.
Yeah, well, actually, there was a guy called Sarangan, who was a rider who was the first to do that on Yamaha. And the elbow, funny enough, in the 90s, that was done by a guy called Juan Jean, I forget, it's some Italian rider on a 250. He used to do his elbow. I remember Philippe Bon in the 90s.
Yeah, wow. There you go. That's great insight.
Was he French? A French rider. But I remember he used to do that. I think Johan Sarian, I think his name might have been, was the first to drag his knee. Kenny Roberts then really.
Yeah, he made it famous.
Yeah, that's right. He sort of did it all the time where he had to get the knee scrapers and stuff. But
then, like, Rossi with the leg.
Rossi with the leg.
And you got Marquez with just saving crashes. Like, he's... Obviously, these greats just leave their mark in history at the same time.
I thought Rossi, what was so good about Rossi was he would not only invent the style, but he changed. If you look at him in the early days, the way he rode and his style, you know, coming to corner, to what it was like. He was doing a whole off the bike shoulder rubbing type thing. He adapted his style.
He did,
To the bikes at the time and tyre. You know, and that leg. I remember seeing that for the first time.
I remember that as well.
And I'm thinking, what's he doing? It was like when you're coming down and it's a bit damp, and you're sort of getting a bit, putting your foot out. You used to see that with riders when it was wet. You know, like getting a bit of extra stability, I guess. But for him to do it, you know, and to see him do it live now at high speed, you know, hang that leg out.
That's wild.
Yeah.
And probably 80% of the field now do it. I think
I'd say 100.
Everyone.
Binder does it.
Rins.
Everyone does it. Yeah. Even all the Moto3 boys do it.
Yeah.
Even on PlayStation 5, they do it.
Yeah. It's even in the games.
That's right.
Yeah, that's it.
Hart _ Mel Bond. We've got two real good ones from him. Zach Brown wants McLaren on top, and that's what will cost them the drivers' championship.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Yeah. It's as we know, it pays the bills, doesn't it? The constructors, the drivers' championship doesn't. So it's all about the constructors' championship. That's where the money's at, and of course he wants to win that.
Mm.
The big trophy is that drivers' championship, and both those boys, Lando and Piastri, they couldn't care less about the constructors. To be honest with you,
that's the most fascinating thing for next year this year in Formula One is how McLaren's gonna
deal with that situation.
Yeah. That's a real tricky one, and it will only ease if Lando goes out and wins the first three races, and you're like, all right, we've got our clear. But if they go 1-1 or they're just equal on points after five rounds,
good luck. Gotta let it play out.
Yeah, you gotta let it play out.
Yeah, you can't choose one or the other.
You know,
it's ridiculous.
It's like when Piastri dive bombed Lando Norris into, I think, Monza.
Yeah, and, he passed him on the outside.
On the outside. But, and then people up in arms about it, but he's allowed to go and win races.
That's
racing. I'd fully expect Lando to do the exact same thing. 100%. I wouldn't be mad if he made that move on Piastri. That's called racing.
Almost.
And that's what undid. That's what pisses me off about him. That's what undid Lando. And lost a lot of fans because of it. Because you don't be so entitled to think that you're already the number one driver.
Yeah.
And that's what cost him. That's a big thing that could cost you a championship. Yeah. And Verstappen doesn't let that affect him. No. Or he is just so ruthless that he wouldn't let that happen.
Exactly.
Would he give that room?
No, he doesn't give anything.
Would Hamilton back in his day made that? Exactly.
I remember when Perez let Verstappen pass for the championship a couple of years ago, and he had the opportunity to repay the favor. He goes, nah, I'm not doing it.
But and don't then, you love
and
that?
No one gave a shit.
Don't you love that?
The team's like, oh, okay, no worries.
Yeah, not talking over the radio for 5 minutes to get the position back.
Well, the thing is with that, Perez intentionally crashed in qualifying at Monaco. Not a lot of people know this. And put him on pole. So Verstappen after that said, I'm never going to give you that position back.
Because
Perez put it on pole.
On pole.
And then crashed. And then it went red flag and the session was over.
And what? And you reckon he did that on purpose?
Verstappen thinks he did it on purpose, yeah.
But that team orders thing's been going forever.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It has. But then there's team orders and then there's racing. Yeah, exactly, right.
Do you remember the famous Bathurst 1977, Colin Bond and Alan Moffat doing the 1-2 in the Fords?
Yeah.
Coming down. Moffat was the number one driver, but he was running out of brakes, had no brakes. Coming down, so he was cruising. Colin Bond was right next to him. Could easily have won that race, but being the team thing to do, chief driver being Alan Moffat would get the win. Mm. And I remember going to straight. Colin Bond just cruised up ahead, just saying, "Oh yeah, I know I can beat."
Yeah, Bond, but, I don't think I could do that.
You know, but he settled for second place, did the team orders thing, and you know.
But yeah, like you just, I don't want to see that. I don't want to see whinging this year. That's what I don't want to see.
It'll turn people off the sport in general.
Yeah, and you're not going to win. You're not going to win championships off that.
No, it's going to be interesting. That's the big thing with those two this year. Because Piastri having another year under his belt, going on the same tracks again and again and again. He's going to be up there. I'm telling you, Piastri will be up there.
And he's unfazed. If Lando's crying, it doesn't seem to faze.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't care.
I think he's going to go really well. I mean, he's done an outstanding season last year.
And underrated. Very underrated.
He's going to have to. By just law of averages, given the second year and more experience.
Third year.
And to get to a higher... And McLaren's has sort of done so well now.
McLaren will go in as favourite for this year.
Remember a few years ago, like they were nowhere.
Right? Yeah, it's amazing. They've done a great job. And to have the might of Ferrari, Mercedes and Red Bull and outperform them, it's been a very impressive change, turnaround. Massive. Even the start of 2 years ago, 23, they were nowhere. They were back of the field and then turned it around with development. And that shows you how good that team is.
So it's going to be interesting in 26 when they do reshuffle the rules.
Yeah.
How it's almost like getting all the throwing it up in the air.
Yeah.
And
just
seeing how it lands when they come down. And, you know, a team that was going crap that time may all of a sudden adapt to those rules better.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's going to change the whole mix.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. 100%. And they'll run Mercedes engines as well, I believe, for 26. Actually, I don't know that for a fact, but we'll talk about that in our prediction show.
McLaren Mercedes.
Yeah.
Again, Hart_Melbourne. Rivalries make the sport, and that's why F1 misses Hamilton versus Verstappen.
I mean, 2021 will go down as the best season in history.
Oh, that was amazing.
Yeah,
amazing.
It's hard to replicate that. But I think it's, you're already seeing a bit of a rivalry between Piastri and Lando.
Well, the first third person you want to beat is your teammate.
Yeah, that's correct.
And it doesn't matter where you finish, just beat your teammate because that means your ass is not on the line.
Yeah.
You know, so exactly. That's so important.
And rivalries don't just build overnight. It takes time.
It takes time.
You can't just have
takes incidents.
Exactly. You can't just have a Rossi Marquez type of feud or a Verstappen Hamilton feud in next season. It always takes time.
Something's got to boil over.
Exactly right. And that will happen. That will definitely
even
happen.
Lando and Verstappen, they went toe-to-toe a lot last year. And then by the end of it, they're all friends again. But I think that will change. It has to change.
Yeah, because they've been mates for a bit or something, haven't they?
But look at Senna and Prost, going back to that. They're saying Senna hated Prost and vice versa on the track because they were rivals. Off the track and when it all said and done, they were best mates sort of thing. Right?
Well, by the end of it, they were. We're talking about this last week. He was a... Paul bearer at his funeral, you know?
That's right, yeah, but it...
Crazy.
Crazy.
You know, that just shows the respect that they have.
It's like Lauder and James Hunt. Yeah. I mean, they were best of friends by the end of that season.
True. But so you've got to understand that these guys don't get that position by giving an inch.
No, exactly.
And they're looking at their rival as taking their position off them
yeah.
and their livelihood off them.
That's right.
And they're not going to let anyone do that.
Swanson Rainey.
Eddie Lawson, he was with Rainey in the early Superbike days all the way through. Yeah, totally hated each other. I read Rainey's book and love lost at all. Oh. But, you know, after all said and done, you know, best of mates. But, geez, you know.
Helmet. They put the helmet on their different beasts. There's race car and motorcycle riders, you know.
Of course.
At Nikki D 3604, by 2027, KTM will drop Tech 3 and the team will become Tech 3 Suzuki.
Whoa.
I love it. It's wishful thinking. I don't think it's going to happen.
I love Suzuki.
If it comes back, we'll have a Kickstarter.
That's why we have hot takes. That's the reason why this was invented. Yeah.
And if it comes off, we'll be thanking Big Dog Nikki D 3604 all the way from Ohio. Ohio.
My favorite state in America, the United States, Ohio. And we had a comment the other day. Hey, I listened from Ohio. Yeah. I was like, that's cool.
Shout out to all of our Ohio listeners.
Drayson Ohio. Silver is actually Texas, though, isn't he?
Wrong again. North Carolina. I like our southern American states.
Yes. Confederate flags and stuff.
Yeah. And they're driving in their vehicles.
What did you say the day? We were at the bottle shop and you're like, where's the contraband? I'm like, what do you mean? Like,
the contraband. That's a good one. He's been watching too much like
cops
border control in America. That's funny. Go on.
At 43_WillGlazy, B greats Mark Pecco, Pedro Martin, and fabulous Fabio battling for the championship, I reckon.
Okay, well. Fabio Caruaro.
Yeah, he said maybe. He did say maybe.
Okay. Yeah, we'll see.
Love to see.
What's going on with this V4? Can someone tell me?
No one knows yet.
Are they running it or not?
No, not yet.
They're going to run it through the mill.
So why are they running it? It's crazy.
They'll be running it for 26.
Yeah, okay. I think so.
But you know, Danby said halfway through this year, but I don't think that's a big jump.
Are they allowed to run those? I thought they had to homologate their engines.
I think you've got to homologate your engines.
I don't think it's homologated yet.
But then they go to 800s anyway in 27. So why are they working so hard on this V4?
But don't bag them for that, because at least they're doing something.
They'll be working on an 800 V4.
That's correct. Yeah, correct.
They're not going to be working on a 1000 sort of V4. They'll be working that for the new... Because it's pointless doing it now.
I think
I've got a tool for 27. Yeah, exactly.
But that's what I'm saying. 26 is going to have the same rules.
Yeah. They are. They're going to just run it for a year or whatever.
What's the point? I didn't get it.
I feel like it'd be easy if you've already got it to then develop it down for an 800 anyway.
Rather than going from scratch,
you know, all the problems have any in the 1000. Yeah.
Anyway, it's a might of Yamaha.
I was told they're going to run a V4 this year, though.
Nah.
I think Dovi might have tested it, maybe.
It ain't ready for the
races
yet.
It's not going to be debuted this year, no.
Mm. Okay. You've heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen.
And is Fabio going to get any hair on his chest?
Who knows?
Harry rides with nothing underneath.
I know. It's pretty wild.
I know.
Yeah, when the letters came up in Catalonia? It's amazing.
I thought that was a ploy for his Instagram.
Probably was.
He's got enough money.
You know what's an interesting thing, Daniel? You appreciate this. Jack Miller, full Dainese suit.
With an Alpine Stars lid.
Alpine Stars
helmet. Very interesting.
Yeah, really does.
We'll talk a bit before about that. They used to do that.
You got a good point on this, actually.
They do a head-to-toe deal, like Alpine Stars, and then, or Dainese could do a head-to-toe deal with the rider, then sell off the helmet component to another manufacturer and recoups money in that way. So that used to happen in, motocross, and I assume that happens in that level as well.
It must.
I think with Jack, it's because Pramac needs someone in Dainese. So how Savadori went to Ixon? Because Aprilia needs a rider in Ixon, is the same with Pramac.
Really? I didn't know
that. Yeah, they needed someone. That's what I heard.
What's Oliveira run?
Ixon.
Who else was went on Dainese as well?
Danny Pedrosa's back.
They're making moves. That's awesome. Dainese again.
Exactly.
They've been sleeping for years because they just left off Valentino Rossi.
They got a huge list now.
Well, they have a budget now because after not paying Rossi.
Well, exactly.
And did you see Rossi at the 12-hour had the Dainese logo on his
car suit.
Yeah, he's still getting...
Yeah, so they got pretty decent catalog, but you're right. I mean, Mir's still in Dainese, but he's now Kabuto helmets.
Yeah,
so he's changed.
Yeah.
So they're moving away from head to toe. Aldeguer's still with LS2.
Mm.
But he's dying easy.
He's dying easy.
Marini, he's dying easy.
He's head to toe. Bezecchi's head to toe. Digia's
showy helmet.
Showy helmet.
Yeah, that's right. Because
is he Dainese?
Top rack showy helmet. Dainese, yeah.
AGV. So that's correct. Right. That's the AGV and
TCX
boots.
Yeah, that's their own thing.
Yeah.
So, but it makes sort of sense that it's okay. We can just get X amount of money for this helmet.
Correct.
And that recoups some cash in, and it's all about the money, isn't it?
Mm.
It's still got a long way to go.
It's such a strange combo to see.
Weird as. Well, the last person was Valentino. He ran Dainese suit with Alpine Star boots. Alpine Star logo on his suit.
I had
suit.
A photo put up on that. He had the Dainese with the Alpine Star logo. And back in those days, we all did that here in Australia. It was Dainese suit, Alpine Star boots, and Spitty gloves. That was like the combination, right? Of those days. And I remember those, they had nothing. It was just a bit of leather. And some of them had the little studs in your palms, so when you put them down, it'll just burn and burn in holes in you.
They actually re-released a retro pair like that. Have they? Funnily enough.
But there was no, like, I've got a pair of beautiful Dainese road race gloves now, and it's like, you know,
you can hold
300 k's an hour. And those things, but the gloves we used to race with were
pure leather.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Tech behind him's insane.
This is a hot take. _289_racing. Acosta P3 in the championship behind 63 and 93. Will outride the VR46 and Grassini boys, and obviously the Aprilia boys.
Mm. Big call. That's a huge call, man.
It's a huge call on a dying KDM.
Well, it goes back to my point from the start. I mean, they might go all right the first half of the season, but they're going to
struggle after
they're
that.
Really struggle.
The development that goes on in that second half of that season,
and that's where you need all the flyaways. Yeah, that's where you need different parts, and you need to change things, because it's all the European tracks are so different. So.
That's exactly where they're going to get found out.
Yeah. And it's where Aprilia usually gets found out.
Yeah, exactly right, man. That's where they struggle the most over the last few years.
And what's the mentality of the riders going to be like? Having this unknown quantity.
Exactly. It's such a hard thing, right?
Because what I'll be doing, I'll be thinking, I'll be having my manager sourcing out another rides.
Yeah.
You know, trying to, because it's almost like, you know, the rat's leaving a sinking ship.
Mm.
But look, hopefully they'll go on as normal. But you can understand if a rider's thinking, maybe there's a deal.
Yeah, you can't blame them.
Yeah.
100% you can't blame them. It's a dog eat dog world at the end of the day.
That's right. Because at the end of the day, they'll flick you in a heartbeat.
Correct.
You know,
100%.
If you don't perform and your bike's good, they'll flick you in a heartbeat.
It's the ultimate KPI, right?
Yeah.
So it's.
Yeah, you got to look after yourself at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I mean, look what Fabio took the money.
Yeah. Don't blame him. No one blames him for that.
Look after yourself.
Yeah.
Juan Mir did the same.
Yeah.
No, a rough call, man.
That'll be his last year.
But if KTM fell over out of the GP for next year, I mean, that's, you know, that's a hole in the grid.
In the grid, yeah.
Yeah. I really hope it doesn't happen.
Remember that in 2008? Remember that season when they had, it was like a dozen
bikes? The CRTs.
Bikes.
Well, 2011.
Was it when they had about a dozen bikes?
Yeah, remember we were standing on top of the pits watching the race start, and there was like 12 bikes. I swear, there was like 12 bikes on the grid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was bad.
That was Simoncelli's year when he died the race after.
Yeah.
There were so many injuries that year as well. So then there was hardly any bikes on the grid.
But you look at the later years of the 125s, like when Marquez won a title, there was only like 18 bikes on the grid. Mm. There wasn't many at all. Mm. And that's why obviously they went to the four strokes.
Yeah. Well, 08 was the global financial crisis and that kind of thing.
Shit.
It all turned to the shit after that.
Exactly right. Last one. Our boy Jazza Madsen. The World Endurance Championship is the healthiest series in the world.
It is. It really is.
Yeah,
the amount of manufacturers they have in there. They've got everyone.
Yeah.
Mercedes, they've got Ferrari, they've got Aston Martin.
Cadillac.
I mean, they've got... And remember we used to watch it one year, Toyota were the only cars in the LMP1 class.
Yeah.
It was just Toyota versus Toyota versus Toyota. Now they've got like 25
different
manufacturers, cars.
You're talking Le Mans style.
Yeah.
But again, this is what happened. After COVID, everyone went out and bought things. All these brands got so rich. Oh, let's go into motorsport. Let's spend all this money. And now you see KTM going down. You're seeing all these other brands going down. It might go back to that stage soon, but who knows? They seem to their eyes just light up and they go, let's go spend all this money. And they realize, oh, fuck, we're in the $10 million debt now, or hundreds of millions or billions.
You know, there's this endurance racing is huge. And there's, you obviously got your big factories like Ferrari and everyone that does that. But like, how much money is that series really bringing in?
Well, I think Le Mans as an event is if they didn't, it's like Bathurst with the supercars. If they didn't have a Le Mans, they wouldn't have a series. Yeah. It's a similar thing. Mm. But like they got, I mean, they race in Bahrain, they race in China. I mean, they're
pretty big.
But like, let's be honest, have you guys ever watched a World Endurance Championship in Bahrain?
Yeah, last year I did. Yeah. No, I'm telling you, this year it's really, really exciting racing.
Yeah, I agree with his statement. I think it is the healthiest championship in the world.
I still think.
There's so many different categories in it. Yeah. It's still a rich
man's
sport.
I wouldn't say the healthiest. I mean, I think Formula One would probably be a more healthy. I mean, that's never dying.
I think this is more like a pure healthy. Though.
Where's
pure,
the money coming from in like insurance? Obviously, TV rights or something like that?
Yeah,
because who watches it? I mean, if you went today and said, okay, guys, I want to start a racing series. We're going to get some cars or bikes and we're going to run them for 24 hours. And we don't expect people to sit there and watch it. You'd say you're mad.
Yeah.
You know, because everyone has such a short attention span.
But all those cars are covered in sponsors.
I think it's because, the history behind it.
Yeah.
And it's just, and I think it's a European thing. They go for that. They make a big party of it. Le Mans would just be a huge party.
But answer this question. If they had a 6 hours of the bend, I'd go 100%.
Yeah, I would.
100%. A 6 hour race is you know, hardly endurance race.
Well, like, a 12 hour or something. I'd be like, that's so cool. Yeah, I'm going. You know, like if we saw those what do they call them now? They don't call them LMP1 anymore. Hypercar.
Yeah.
The hypercars around there, I mean, that'd just be a crazy event to go to.
Yeah. And what
Bathurst does that? Bathurst is a 6 hour event. You know,
it's a big one. What helps the World Endurance Championship is you see like Jenson Button, Formula One drivers.
Yeah, you've got the names.
Fizikella, got the names. Yeah. Mark Webber's raced it. Giovinazzi, that's right.
But like, they're seeing it as a career now where it didn't used to be. Like people are going to World Endurance Championship, they're choosing that over some other other categories.
Do you see Max in the future doing it?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think it's big enough for him to race full time in it, but.
But, you know, do a Le Mans 24 hours when he's older or something that. Like when he's retired, whatever.
Jesus, yeah, you've got to love it, wouldn't you?
But remember Alonso a few years ago, Alonso goes, I want to win the Le Mans, which he did. I want to win a F1 World Championship, which he did, or Monaco. And he wants to win that Indy 500, and he was leading it.
Yeah.
And his stupid McLaren Honda conked out with about 40 laps to go or something. So
he's a racer.
They call it the three-peat, and only one person in the world's done it, and it is...
Andretti. He's Formula One, Indy...
He didn't win Le Mans. No. He was at Jackie Ickx? Yeah.
Geez, that's going back a bit.
Yeah.
Tell me about IndyCars. What's the status with IndyCars?
Oh, I think it's still healthy enough. I mean, America's 300 million people, isn't it? So they can keep their series alive from just them watching it.
Because it used to be unreal to watch Indianapolis.
Remember Surface Paradise? Yeah. How cool that was.
That was great.
Sebastian Bordeaux?
Mm. I'd love to go to that if that was...
Yeah, that would have been great. I wish I did go to that. It was because, you know, being up there would have been amazing. Oh, I've had friends who have done it. Rented rooms,
on
the top with balconies and stuff, and that'd be great.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you much about IndyCar though.
Now again, Indy 500. If they didn't have that, they wouldn't have a series.
That's V8 Supercars though. It's Bathurst.
The same thing. Le Mans and the Endurance Championship. That's the thing. It's like F1 and Monaco. I mean, you could go without Monaco and still have an amazing year, So
you could take Mugello out and still have an amazing year.
Bikes, you had Suzuka 8-hour, right? Which is
that's an awesome event.
Now the great thing about that is there's tire wars.
Yeah,
yes.
You know, great. That's probably the last big event that actually has tire wars on that. And
I think hypercars are all controlled, all the same tires. That's a good point.
And Suzuka's usually running at about 40-degree heat too. It's bloody
cool one to go to.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's
easy, boys. Thank you for episode 100.
Raise the bat.
Yeah. Raise the bat.
100 of the best.
Thanks to all the listeners that have come along this journey with us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
More stories next time.
Yeah.
That's part three.
He raced against Mick Doohan. That's the next one at Bathurst.
No, it's the one where the petrol was all over me at
Okay, we'll save it.
Save it for the next one.
Thanks, heaps.
See you guys.
Bye.